Previously on the Lupe and Royce Show.
I'm outside with my car that I don't have a key to. Outside of my door that I don't have a key to. All I can do is go next door to the gym and talk to my man Fortune because he's the only person who knows other people's numbers that I can call. I go over there and he's running one of those aerobics classes with the earpiece on. So he in there like, work, work, work. So I can't bother him.
I'm confused, right? Because don't you always carry a strap? Ain't you always strapped?
I mean, yeah, that don't have nothing to do with nothing.
How come you just didn't shoot your way back into the studio?
The Lupe and Royce Show is a Say What Media production.
That was pretty good.
Yo, what up? This is Lupe Fiasco. And Tom is the culprit with all his air on the mic. Tom, mute your mic.
I'm muting it right now.
Nah, that's Royce.
I didn't do shit.
Are you going to apologize to me now?
Never.
My name is Royce 5'9", and I did not make Kick Push.
And this is Tom Frank. I'm the regular guy, and welcome to episode 36.
Is this episode 36?
Episode
3 plus 3 is 6. This is an auspicious moment.
You're not a regular guy this week.
Why am I not a regular guy this week?
Because a special day that you just had just passed.
My birthday.
There it is. Tell us all about it.
Oh. Woo!
It was a wonderful birthday. Thank you. How a wonderful birthday. Hey, and I need to thank everybody. I had a lot of people wish me a happy birthday on Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. Thank you all. It touched me right here.
Thank me and Lupe.
Thank y'all.
What's that?
We the reason why they're wishing you a happy birthday.
Wait a minute. I'm the reason?
Yeah, because we inducted you into the Wolf Pack.
That's true.
So now they treat you like one of theirs. How's that make you feel?
That makes me feel good.
We didn't even jump you in.
Well, let me tell you something. I didn't really do much for my birthday though. I went to the Nats game. I told you about that. I didn't get to throw out the first pitch, but I watched the game. It was a good game. But can I tell you guys something? We're not back yet. We are not back in real world yet. I had to wear my mask the whole time. That you couldn't stand or eat anything anywhere. You could only sit in your seats. The seats were all boarded up around you. You only could sit right here. It's not reality yet.
Can you wear a hockey goalie mask since it's all professional sports?
I didn't try that, but I could have.
Should have gave out a shot.
Yeah. Now, before we dive into the meat of today's show, I wanted to pull out a few comments from you guys because I feel like sometimes I don't share with you all the love that we get on this show.
I honestly don't care. So
Royce cares.
That's my perspective.
Royce cares. It. I'm going to share with Royce.
I don't care. This is a unified front.
Stop trying to be like me.
I'm not trying to be like this.
Be like you. Be Royce.
I don't have an identity.
Nah, be like the guy who didn't make Kick Push. Keep that same energy through the course of this show, my good man. Mr. 313.
I like that hat, by the way. I like it a lot.
Thank you, Tom. You're being a really good friend right now. I appreciate you. We're going to talk about Lupe's new haircut or?
Listen, can we please get to talking about these comments? We can get to the cut. Okay.
All right. The comments.
We keep stalling. We wasting precious airtime.
Let me just go through these.
Your barber come through with the hazmat suit on.
Listen, man. We'll get into that. Let's finish with the regular guy. We'll get to my haircut. We'll spin back around to why you looking so brolic in that t-shirt. I've never seen a t-shirt on you that short at the biceps ever.
And so, now, why are we all?
I
want to
know what's going on.
Why you got to insult me with compliments, man? You see what I'm saying? See what I go through, Tom?
We all have black t-shirts on. Did you notice that?
It's in solidarity.
All right, let's hear some of the
comments from last week. This one was fire with the Pulp Fiction scene. Y'all have great chemistry and comedic timing. Keep up the great work.
They mostly talking about me.
They are. Next comment.
I knew it popped up in my head that you couldn't help yourself, that you just had to dive in and make yourself the center of the attention. But that's fine. Continue, well, Tom.
The next comment did say, Royce, you killed that Pulp Fiction segment. Show gets better every episode. When Lupe professed his Sandra Bullock love, we became brothers.
is this person?
I'm just random. These are random comments.
What's the name? I want a name.
I don't know. I didn't write the names down.
Oh, so you could have just been making all this up.
No, I'm not making this up. Wow. Shout out to Lou with the rainbow roller rink throwback. And then I'll end with this because there was a question and I couldn't find the answer. Where do I find the Emily? How do you say your last name? Walk? Who? Emily Walk podcast.
Oh, Emily Kwok.
Kwok.
Emily Kwok.
That you talked about towards the end about mastery and OCD.
Oh, I don't think it's out yet.
Oh.
You did it.
I looked for it. I couldn't find it.
So were you the one asking that question?
No, I wasn't asking. I was trying to pretend, answer the question.
Are you trying to pretend like we got fans, Tom, and it's really you behind the scenes?
Oh, no. No. You got lots of fans. You guys got lots of fans.
If you want to know more about Emily Kwok, since Emily Kwok, she's on Instagram, I think, at Emily Kwok, K-W-O-K, BJJ. So Emily Kwok Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Just Google her. You'll be able to find it. But that episode, I don't think, is out yet. Anyway, what's up about my haircut, man?
I do.
Well, thank you, fans. Thank you for the fans for the comments and the questions. We really appreciate it. Please send more.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I don't like to call you guys fans, though. I look at you more like extended family, you know. But Lupe can call you fans because he's looking smoking hot in his new haircut.
Here we go.
Tell us about the haircut.
Listen, if we put that shirt on this haircut, we would be the talk of the town. Do you understand?
We would be Donnell Jones.
It'd be something.
We
had to make an R&B album. This is like one of them. You remember them tight shirts Nick used to wear back in the day? Like,
remember them? You have it on right now.
No, this is just a regular t-shirt, man.
Ain't nothing regular about that, Jack.
This ain't one of them shiny ones that you wear to, like, you know, sing in. This is just a regular t-shirt. It's been washed a couple times, so, you know, it's fitting me a little snug, but I'm not going nowhere.
Is it a small? I mean, what size is that t-shirt?
Tom. Bruh. No, it's a large. Like my all
shirt. Who large?
A kid's large?
Large for who?
Large and in charge.
All right, we're going to find out. Listen, man, yes, I got a haircut, as you can see. I don't want people to see. This is too much invasion into my privacy, inviting people into my domicile every Thursday.
That's a haircut. God dang.
That ain't even your house, Royce. That's a studio. Tom, he don't care. He want people to come to his house. So yeah, so I got a little fade, man. Shout out to my my old DJ, but my producer extraordinaire, my homie, we go way back. DJ Simon Says. The fans know, the fans know who Simon Says is. He was my DJ for years. But he also cut a mean head of hair, man. He surely did.
How do I go about getting it done, though?
Are you on details?
I mean, you ain't got to tell all the details. I just want to know what precautions that you took.
Well, I would just like to say that
come over and just cut it.
Had nothing to do or in no way was related to your haircut experiences that you used to get back in the day. So I'll throw that out there off top,
like,
right?
Times when I was a kid, man.
Okay, it wasn't no jean cutoffs. It wasn't cut off. It wasn't none of that, man. It was standard. Anyway, you know, I was debating because I don't know. I don't. My history of haircutting is shady at best, cloudy. You want to call it that? Like, I don't know what to do with my head, man. I have no idea, right? Mm-hmm. And we weren't getting haircuts back in the day. It was like, that just was, you just gonna have to go on to school like that and maybe comb it out of brush it. But a haircut with fades and graphics and all that, I was like, yeah.
Did you get any graphics in it?
No, I didn't get no graphics.
Hmm.
So, you know, I just like it low and to the flow. You know what I'm saying? To keep the naps away, you know, so then I might slap a cap on and I'm gonna cap it out, you know, until it just get unbearable and the caps don't fit. And so I was thinking, like, you know what? You know, I had dreadlocks before. I was thinking, like, man, you know what? I might want to just, like, do something interesting and dread the top, you know, so let that grow out and dread it. And I was thinking, like, man, that really hurts. Like, I'm really tender-headed and getting dreads really hurts. And I was like, it took a long time, like 3-4 hours to get your hair twisted. And I was like, I don't want to do that. So I just hit the homie. He was like, hey, man, it's about that time.
Now, if you wanted to go all in on the solidarity, you should have just shaved it off.
No, first of all, Tom, your hair is not shaved off. Your hair is missing.
I'll tell you what, I'm in the air, Tom.
Don't worry about it.
I mean, hey, bro, you know what? I like it.
What I was asking you, Lou, was because I know how serious you take your social distancing.
True.
Oh.
What did you did you allow your barber to come into your home where nobody knows where it's at?
Absolutely not. I actually went to his place, right? Brought a mask with me for him, right? Because I didn't really trust his selection of masks that he had.
So you provided him with a mask of your comfort.
Yeah, and he put on, I had one of them fine original K95, N95s, direct, right from the source, direct from the factory, right? I got a box, like, put this on. Yeah, and he put it on, and he cool, opened up some windows. He know what it is, man. People know what it is when I'm in the building. You got to be masked up, baby. You got to put that mask on. I just did an interview, like a little documentary thing. And when I came into the interview, did nobody have on a mask. And they looked at me like, I like something wrong with me, right? And they was like, oh, man, would you want us to put on a mask? I was like, hell yeah, I want you to put on a mask. So everybody put on a mask. And when they put their mask on, I took my mask off, did an interview, and then I put my mask on and got the hell up out of there.
How many people?
Maybe like three.
Okay.
I don't play with that yet. I'm fully vaxxed. So, you know, as you see every day, us who are vaccinated getting more and more good news from Granddaddy Fauci. You know what I'm saying? He's like, oh, man, you vaccinated. Guess what, dog? You get some free French fries at Shake Shack, man. Like, oh, wee.
You don't get free French fries at Shake Shack? They charge for fries?
Come on, man. Don't be. You're doing it. That shirt has got you real celebrity right now.
I get
really
free fries
questioning normality, man.
Ooh, I love Shake Shack.
I go in there dressed like Johnny Bravo. Give me some fries.
Most people don't live that lifestyle, Royce. Unbeknownst to you, outside of your bubble, outside of heaven, literally. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
People ain't living like how you living, man.
Regular people are living regular lives.
I'm dressed like Nino Brown in that scene. We had the dog walking around the table, and he ain't know who to trust. That's how I feel right now. I need my Rockwell in here, man, because y'all are tripping.
You don't know who to trust right now?
I mean, I don't know if it's Christopher Williams.
Listen, man, you definitely can't trust me. I'm just letting you know. Like, don't trust me, because I will call an audible. Quick.
You can trust me, Royce.
Listen, we could be sitting in the drive-thru. Mid-order, right? And I'm like, man, you know what? Let's go get some pizza.
That would be irritating.
Like, nah, we straight. Just gonna get us this pizza. But ordinary folks, you know what's interesting, though? We like the three bears right now. You know the story Goldilocks? Speaking of hair, you know the story Goldilocks, Tom?
I do.
Your beard?
I do.
You know the premise, right? This old infiltrating, good for nothing, breaking and entering little white woman, right? Went into these peaceful bear's crib.
Okay.
Right?
And yeah.
She just decided to take it upon her white self to just ramshackle these people's cribs, right? Dig all into their good, delicious snacks and bedroom situations, right? And then, but she had to find like the mama bear, papa bear. This was too big. This was too small. This was just right. So I think from a t-shirt standpoint that me, you, and Royce are like now, we like Goldie as it comes to the t-shirt game right now.
Mm-hmm. Mine's just right.
I don't know, man.
This is perfect.
I got bacon neck.
I don't have any bacon. Right, hey, bacon, you know why I don't have bacon? Because I'm wearing a Mac Weldon shirt tonight.
Ooh, wee. Look, I threw that in there.
Yeah.
Look, I slid. He wearing $100 t-shirt. How much that t-shirt cost?
Oh, feels nice.
How much that t-shirt cost? Like $60.
Oh, it was like a $60 t-shirt they gave me.
My God, you right.
I could feel myself all night.
Royce. Did that come with anger? Mine came in a pack.
Is the hanger still in there?
I had to iron mine before I put it on.
Oh, mine came already pre-ironed.
Royce is Goldilocks. The moral of the story is that Royce is Goldilocks right now with his t-shirt. His t-shirt is fitting right. Mm-hmm. contours. He's just, oh,
I didn't steal the door. I went in there. I tried everybody's porridge, laid in everybody's bed, went all through their crib and shit. I left out and I did not steal the door. Nothing is worth stealing the door, bro.
Yo, that reminds me. I have to put in my Mack Weldon order, man. I need some of them silver socks. You playing something? What's going on over there, Royce? You DJing? Like, what's happening?
My bad. I was about to freestyle. My bad. I just realized this wasn't the best time. What else you want to be about?
I want one of those waters that you can drink all of. My whole house could drink it. Saying, ooh, liquid death. We got some stuff brewing.
Dear liquid death, I'm running low. Send some more water from the stove.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank.
Thank you to our sponsor, Mack Weldon, which makes men's essentials like socks, shirts, hoodies, underwear, polos, and active shorts. As you can imagine, I face a lot of pressure to look good showing up alongside these two rappers every week after week. So Mack Weldon is my new go-to for comfort and, more importantly, style. Everything in the Mack Weldon collection mixes and matches seamlessly to fit in with your existing stuff. So do yourself and your closet a favor and check them out. I personally have a few Vesper polos and a black dry knit t-shirt that I'm wearing right now at this very moment, and even some undies. I should also mention the guarantee. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear, you can keep them and they're still going to refund you. No questions asked. The Weldon Blue loyalty program is also pretty cool and totally free. Level 1 gets you free shipping for life. And once you spend $200, you reach level 2 and get 20% off every order for the next year. For 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com/LupeAndRoyce and enter promo code LupeAndRoyce. That's MackWeldon.com/LupeAndRoyce, promo code LupeAndRoyce for 20% off. Mack Weldon, reinventing men's basics. I kind of wanted to get your take on what's up with J. Cole playing basketball. Now, you brought this up last week. You said that you wished you could go out and play basketball again, but you haven't done it. And then I see J. Cole going, and he's playing for, I don't even know who he's playing for, the Rwanda Patriots of the new Basketball Africa League.
Who said that now?
You said that. You did. Royce the 5'9".
When did I say that?
What are you talking about when you say that? You said it last week.
Last week.
What did I say exactly? I don't remember that. Was I drinking?
No, you said it in a positive way. You said you wish you could get back out there and play basketball, but you haven't played in a while, and so therefore you didn't want to go out and start playing some of these celebrity things. And then all of a sudden next week, I see J. Cole signed on the Rwanda Patriots.
Yeah, he was probably watching our episode.
You think that's why he did it?
He got inspired. Yeah, he got inspired, and he went out there to Africa. That's what happened. I think he did good. He's doing good.
Chasing his dreams. I like it.
Wait, Tom, did you do some research about what this Africa League is? Is it a part of the NBA? I have no idea. My genius mind is putting together the pieces. And what I'm thinking that it is that it's like an expansion league for
of the
Africa,
NBA.
But sponsored by the NBA, right? Is that the thing?
I haven't figured out the exact affiliation, but their logo pretty much looks like the NBA. So either one of two things. They have their own presses down there and they're making shirts that just look like the NBA, they're doing a Tom, or they actually have some affiliation.
I don't think they got no affiliation. Let me look at that real quick.
I think they do. Wait, where are you going with this?
Where am I going? What?
With this affiliation thing?
I just want to know. Like, I'm not trying to see. It ain't no ulterior motive, man. I just don't know. I want to confirm what my mind is kind of put together with what that is. It seems like it's a pro league, but you know, the NBA got different leagues. They got D league.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same thing like baseball. They got the farmer league, like whatever that is, whatever the teams are. F1 has like different, like at an F1 track, when you go to see a race, they might have three races that same day, complete F3 formula, this blah, 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 blah. And then F1 is like the main thing. So I was just trying to figure out how it worked. That's all.
Well, here's where I thought you were going to go with that.
Just hold on. What is it, Tom? What is it, Royster?
Just an Africa League.
Is it affiliated with NBA?
Has to be.
The NBA anywhere.
Look at the logo. Look at the logo then. The logo looks exactly like the NBA.
Yo, ready for this? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Royce is right. I don't think it has anything to do with the NBA.
It's just the Rwanda Pro League.
The National Basketball League.
The NBL.
The NBL. There we go. It's not the National Basketball Association. It's the NBL.
No, it's the BAL. The Basketball Africa League.
Right.
And the and wait a minute. The organizing body? The NBA.
Here we go. Check this out. That is the BAL's logo. The BAL seems to be like it is
organized by the NBA.
No. Yes, you know how they have the I'm not saying no to that. Oh. I'm not saying it's not organized in the NBA. It's like like soccer in Europe.
Yeah.
They got like the Premier League, like La Liga, which I think is Spain, then like the French leagues, like the German league, the Bundesliga, mm-hmm. where each country has their own like league, right? And then the top teams from that league go play in the Champions League. And the Champions League is like an international league where all of if you're like Manchester United and like say Tottenham or something like that, like you're going to play each other in the UK, right? But if you were Tottenham and you want to go play, say, Barcelona or something like that, right? Like you would play them in the Champions League, if I'm not mistaken. I think that's how it's set it up. So this BAL is like a national, it's like a super league. Yeah, it's like a super league. So it's like Angola, Egypt, Morocco, Nigeria, Rwanda, Senegal, Tunisia. That says the host countries. How many members? What is this?
There's 12. Let me break this down here for you. There's 12 teams.
They don't give me no information because they know they don't want me playing.
There's 12 teams. It was actually announced. It was announced at the NBA All-Star Game at a luncheon about the league. So it is affiliated with the NBA. ESPN Africa is the big TV partner. So this is an interesting league.
And it's affiliated with the FIBA.
FIBA.
Internet. So it's the NBA and
affiliated with the NBA.
Yes, it's affiliated with both the NBA and FIBA.
Let's make sure we clarify that.
Let's clarify. I want to go to a game. When are we going?
How many? So I'm trying to get to what the teams are. J. Cole needs to do a song where he explains what this is.
Well, now here's
like,
what
that would help.
Here's what I was asking though. Did he come out in this league? Did he purposely time the release of his new album with his first game? Do you think that was all timed?
Let's call him.
J. Cole, I'll be contacting you through Royce for the next episode.
Yeah, there you go.
J. Cole is not on Instagram, man. You can't DM him.
Don't worry, I'll find him. Because I found the other guy that we were talking about. Now, if you guys remember out there, we've had a little banter back and forth with a certain other podcast, a certain other individual who I reached out to this week to get him on the show so that we could talk face to face to this man.
Oh, Demon Time.
Are you ready for this? Got a very special guest on the show tonight, fellas.
Okay.
And you know, there's been a little bit of back and forth on both podcasts. I believe he just released something on his Instagram account about 10 minutes ago. I'm going to introduce and I'm bringing him on right now.
Royce ain't afraid of nobody.
The one
5'9" has never been afraid of any man.
This is the one and only, the former two-time welterweight world champion and the host of the all-new The Porter Way podcast. It is showtime, Sean Porter joining the show.
Hey, hey, Lou, don't do that. You make yourself look guilty, man.
Yo, bro, listen.
Listen, what's up?
Me and Lupe, we just met, bro. You know what I mean? All of that shit he was saying.
Yeah.
Shit that I was saying, he made me say it, man. Yes. It's crazy. I didn't want to say that shit, Showtime.
Hey, listen.
Lou, tell Sean.
Look, he going to go all the way on the other side. What's up, boss man?
What's up, Showtime?
I'm good,
what's
up, man. Brother? How y'all?
What up, my bro?
Man, listen, I check y'all out practically every week, as y'all know. And then a few times I popped up in there, and my guy, he always brings it to my attention, the guy on the show, Carson, he always brings it to my attention when I'm on the show. Usually I start from the beginning and go to it, but the few times that I popped up, He said, here's the timestamp for you right here. You know what I mean? And, man, listen, it's cool to see you guys talking about me, man. It's cool to be able to, you know, do that little bit of back and forth on the shows, man.
Listen, Showtime, you saying it's cool. Like, it's not cool though. Like, you saying it's cool. Like, yeah, it's cool. It's cool. All right. You saying it like that. You got to understand, you's a dangerous man. You strike fear.
But I'm
a huge fan, as you know.
But y'all already know how it go with me. Y'all know I ain't really looking for the heat. You know what I mean? But y'all know I don't have a problem with the heat. So that's really what it all amounts to. You know what I mean? But at the same time, so what we do nowadays, you know what I mean? Because we all stuck at home or was stuck at home. We do the podcast thing. When we do the podcast thing, we talk about on my show, we talk about boxing. We talk about the latest or whatever. And, there's no secret. You know, you're one of my rap lyrical guys right there. You know what I mean? So I put you you're at the top for me, Lupe. And so when it's all about to go down and I got a chance to really like express myself, I'm not going to do it to Carson on the text message. We're going to do it right here on the show so everybody know what's going on. And I didn't know it was going to reach y'all. I didn't know you was going to really read it all like that. I should have known. But, you know, at the end of the day, it is what it is. You know what I'm saying?
No, it ain't is what it is, man. You a dangerous man. We need it in writing that you will not be putting hands on us, man. We need a contract signed. You know how to do contracts that you're going to fight somebody? We need a contract.
Lou, let me handle this. I think I know how to handle this because I go to therapy. Sean, do we do anything or say anything to offend you, sir?
Didn't you did. on the real, like the offensive, like on a scale of, like, no.
I was trying to listen. You put us here, Royce. I had them coming down. I was finna segue into the joke with the contract, and then you the one who got put the man in therapy.
On a scale of 1 to 10, I feel a 2 in terms of how I felt about the situation. I just, when I saw the episode, I was like, damn. Why he ain't say nothing before they got online? Why he do it just right there? And then Lou, like, come on, man, you don't know what's on the internet. What it says, my ticket is gonna guarantee me.
you giving me really way too know, much credit. Way
he
too
really
much.
Didn't
credit.
Know.
Yeah,
I'm really fan. Know.
Yeah,
I don't know what be going on.
Yeah, you probably shouldn't say that right now. Let me tell you what I think happened. So this is what it says. What it said was that it was like the ultimate package. You get the shirt, you get the show, of course, you get behind the scenes, and you get 2 minutes with Lou. And I think what happened was they put that up, and then they realized, like, oh, snap, we're going to get a bunch of knuckleheads. Let's just say sold out. And so y'all put the sold out stamp on it, not knowing that people really was expecting to get 2 minutes on the show with Lou and with Royce. And that's what I was expecting. But I, as y'all heard on the show, when I went to go back and get it, it said it was already sold out. So I'm like, boom, it's gone. Maybe I'll hit up Royce and maybe Royce will hit up Lou as he said he would and see what would happen, what would come of it. I didn't even get a text back from Royce. All I got was the show. All I got was what happened on the show.
So you know the moral of this story here, though.
Nah,
you should have came directly to me.
Stop trying to intercede on our behalf, Tom.
I would have made it all happen for him.
Tom
would have sold
went to
you
the
up
wrong
the rhythm, man.
Two guys.
You get on my nerves, Tom.
Come on, man.
You get on my nerves.
What?
Ooh.
I just want to listen, Tom. You and Royce are ruining this. Y'all gonna get
no. I'm doing great.
Let me tell you why you get on my nerves, Tom.
I'm going back to Royce now.
You get on my nerves because you talking about tell us more. We want to hear more. Why is Showtime mad? I'm not mad. It's just how it kind of all transpired. But you talking about some we want to hear more. I'm like, this guy. Come on, man.
That's why Tom gonna get his ass whooped. But Tom, I tried to save you.
Man, I was in the clear here.
But we all
now
good.
I'm getting nervous.
We all good. You know that.
No, we not all good. How you are we not all good? Because you got the capacity to put hands on these brothers and myself.
Listen.
We ain't got no defense for that. You good. We are not all good. Listen, I just want to have a contract.
Who's the promoter? Who is the promoter for the show?
Stop talking to this man so recklessly, man. Stop using the
No, I'm asking base. You.
Oh,
I'm
man,
asking
listen.
You, Mr. Fiasco.
Take that bass out of your voice just in case.
I'm asking you, Mr. Fiasco.
You think I'm talking to me? Right, I'm not. We not talking. It's we showtime. We need a contract, please. Hopefully, well, we don't. That explicitly states that you will not be putting hands.
I told you, we good.
Van Royce.
I told you, we good. Hey, listen, but you know what was crazy is the last episode y'all did. First time I watched it was with my wife, and so you talking about. You said Sean the kind of guy that'd take your apology and just use it as more ammunition. And as soon as you said that, my wife looked at me and was like, yep, he's exactly right. That's how you be. Now we had to have it out because of all that. I said, look, I said, dang, is that how I really do it? She said, yeah, that's exactly how you do it. So you call me, man. You right.
So we're just basically causing a whole bunch of mischief in your life.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty much. Pretty much.
Yo. I like to introduce you to Tom. He's the producer of the show. He pretty much writes the whole script.
Now I might be doing this.
Yeah, me and Lou, we just say lines.
Yeah.
Yo, Showtime. Showtime. Thank you for coming on the show. I actually have some questions for you to have an expert in the building.
Okay.
Right. I know you're going to whoop Tom's ass when you get the hands on him. And listen, I don't agree or disagree with that moment. If that's what needs to happen, then so be it.
Yeah, I know I'm a peaceful man. I'm a peaceful man.
But he's a very peaceful man.
You're a skilled fighter, so you know how to, just give him a little bit, just to shake him up.
Exactly.
Yeah, just punch him like seven times real quick.
Let's move on from this subject.
Beat his sides up real quick, but, stay away from the face.
Because here, let me do this, because I know you're going into some boxing, so let me do this for you real quick. How the Paul brothers have gotten so big and have done so much, what they've done so far in this boxing game is because Dude had the right guy in front of him and Nate Robinson. And so, like I said, I'm a peaceful man, but when you get in the ring, you really do have to transform. You have to kind of, you got to kind of be like Andre Ward said, like you got to kind of be crazy to do this. You have to ignore everything that keeps you safe. You have to ignore everything that is logical and say, I'm going to go in there and do what I'm prepared to do. And if it means knocking this guy out, if it means taking some hard body blows, some hard head blows, I'm going to do what I have to do to leave the ring with this belt. And so just saying that to say Nate Robinson did not know what he was getting himself into from a mental standpoint and an emotional standpoint. He thought, I'm an athlete. I've played football. I play basketball at the highest level. I can train a little bit and get in the ring and do this. But when he walked out, he saw a crowd that he had never seen before. He's seen that NBA crowd, but he ain't never seen a boxing crowd. He's felt the NBA energy, but he's never felt the boxing energy. And guess what? He realized, like, I don't have a headgear on anymore. I got smaller gloves on now. I'm about to really get in here and do this for real. And it all came rushing in. And he wasn't able to handle it mentally. And a lot of times, that's what gets a lot of these fighters is they don't know how to handle it mentally. The guys at the top, Mayweather, he beats everybody before he gets in the ring with them. He does it mentally.
See that, Tom?
Why did they let him do that?
You're going to get that boxing energy put on you real quick, Tom. Full-time Tom Porter energy all over your
side.
You said, why did they let Nate Robinson do that? They let him do
it. How did that even get... Did they sanction that? Was that a sanctioned fight?
Yeah, it was sanctioned.
That was a sanctioned fight?
Man, listen.
How?
So here's the thing that people don't know about boxing. You say the business runs the sport, but what people don't understand is the business really is money. Money runs the sport of boxing. And so right there, everybody saw an opportunity to make a lot of money. And Nate Robinson was the one that took all the risk.
But he didn't make a lot of money.
Exactly. The risk to reward is what we talk about in boxing. No reward. When I saw the numbers, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And they don't, none of that's secretive. Everything is put out for the public to know who makes what and so on and so forth. So he took a big risk for no reward, man. And I want to see him do it again. You know why? Because he's felt it and he's experienced it. I think now he comes to the ring differently.
I think he should never do that again.
No. Hey, listen, I think we would see something different. I really do. I really do. And maybe I want to see it just for my my theory to see if I'm right. You know what I mean? But I think he handled himself a little better than the next time out.
Yeah, we was talking about boxing last week, and Royce brought up something, which we didn't dive into. We kind of tape it off into something else. But since you're here, and I want to bring this back up again, Royce. Remember, I was asking you about like Floyd, like what did you know? What's this thing with Logan Paul? You broke it down for us and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And you had mentioned that it was like it's fighters in the lead up to kind of building up what it was. You mentioned that it was like, you know, Floyd still has a brand, you know, mm-hmm. outside of just boxing, right? And he's able to capitalize on it, kind of seeing the spectacle and the shenanigans. And then you gave like a list of fighters who Floyd didn't fight, right? And those fighters are still active and still in the midst of things. Mm-hmm. And you see Floyd, you know, fighting, you know, I don't want to call them, you know, they're just not known in the boxing world like other folks are. Traditional boxers, not to take away their boxing acumen or stuff like that, but is there like this sense of like you know, people feel like Floyd, and you know how I feel about Floyd, I feel Floyd is the TBE, right? It are there folks who feel that like Floyd, I mean, I think Sean Porter's the TBE, just to put that out there.
Don't do that.
But do you feel like that there's like some, maybe let's just call it animosity, and maybe bring it down from that if it's not animosity.
Yeah, no, that's exactly like what it
Floyd,
is.
Floyd should have gave them yeah. them shots.
Yep.
You know but what I'm saying? Yeah. Whether it was money shots or for the art of boxing shots, yep. like, and now they see him fighting these kind of folks who aren't in that space, the Conor McGregor's yep. and the dude from Japan. Yep. They're in the boxing community, people are upset.
I'm gonna let you take it, but I wanna clarify what I meant.
Yeah.
Or what I saw. I can't remember exactly how I framed it, but I don't feel like the monsters that exist in the welterweight division now, mm-hmm. you, Bud, Earl mm-hmm. Spence, Danny Garcia, mm-hmm. Keith Thurman, mm-hmm. I don't think that Floyd has to fight y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I think now is y'all time.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So
yep.
I think Floyd fought everybody. He's retired.
Yep.
So when I mentioned them, I was just mentioning them to say that a lot of people are looking at it like, why don't you challenge yourself some
yeah.
more?
Yeah.
Fight mm-hmm. one of the younger monsters.
Yeah.
But they can't let go of the fact that he's retired.
Yeah.
And it's not even a real fight.
Yeah.
It's really just it's just a way for him to go pick up some money real quick.
Yeah.
Without really taking a risk.
He
you
said
know what
it,
I mean?
He
and
said
I think
it
that
exactly,
we should
right.
we should encourage
yeah.
we should encourage
yeah.
rappers, fighters, athletes. Mm-hmm. to do that more because it's something about us, man, where people just don't like when we make money.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, oh man, he doing a spectacle. He doing a spectacle. You know what I'm saying? Like Muhammad Ali did it.
Royce,
who else did it? Huh?
They did something with Muhammad Ali did it with the WWE, right?
Yeah,
Mike
like
Tyson did something like that too. Yeah, he did it with Hulk Hogan, I think it was. Yeah.
It was some sort of wrestling. Some wrestling.
Muhammad
yeah.
Ali did something with Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, I think he it was Hulk Hogan.
I remember Rocky doing something with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that was the movie, though. This was, well, you know.
Oh, that's yeah, a movie.
Yeah.
He did, like.
Royce, yeah. you're exactly right. And I think that's where people really have that disconnect in terms of what you're watching opposed to, or what you want opposed to what you're going to get. That's the disconnect. Mm-hmm. People are watching boxing, but they're expecting the high level fighting. And so now you got the Paul brothers mm-hmm. who are not high level, and you're saying, well, how come these guys make the high level money even though they haven't done anything that any of these other world champions or even challengers have done in terms of getting to where they've gotten now in the professional boxing game? That's what people want. But what you're getting is the what's going on in the world now. And what's going on in the world yeah. now is social media. What's going on in the world now is better ways, bigger ways, instant ways to make a whole lot of money. And Floyd Mayweather. Yeah. And Floyd Mayweather has figured it out. He said, I fit into that. Let me go ahead and do that right quick. And so what we have to do is we have to understand that this dude has done everything that could be done in the sport of boxing. There really is no more he can do. Why should he take on a monster? He's retired. Why should he do any, why should he risk himself any more for the sport that he's already risked his life so many times in and has made so many sacrifices so many times in, people don't really know how to accept that. What they understand is that this dude is TBE. He should be fighting other guys proving that he's TBE. No, he's already proved that. Let it go and let this happen. It's an event. It's going to be a monster event. Just like that thing he did with Conor McGregor was. And everybody's going to be there.
And Jake and Logan, nobody who knows boxing is looking at them like they're doing anything in boxing. None of these events is considered boxing to us.
Yeah.
But so are you saying though, they have no chance. They have absolutely no chance.
Who is that? Who is that?
Logan Paul. He has no chance whatsoever.
Against Floyd?
Yeah. I'm asking.
Not even a third of a percent.
Hey, so you watch boxing, Royce. What about a puncher's chance? Does he have a puncher's chance?
He don't even have a puncher's chance.
Nah, it's Floyd. It's Floyd. You know?
It's not even.
Yeah.
It'd be whatever Floyd wanted to be.
Floyd is a rare commodity.
Around with him for...
He's a rare commodity. Remember, guys like, Bo Jackson. He's the Bo Jackson of boxing, where Bo just could go off of the football field, go into the baseball field, hit home runs, run the bases, so on and so forth, and then get right back on the field and do it all over again. Mm. Could go off of the field. Herschel Walker could go off of the football field onto the track and beat track racers. There's guys in this world who are just blessed to do what they do. You don't understand the rhyme and the reason. You don't understand how is this guy able to maintain everything that he has. He did that when he was 18. He did that when he was 25, and he could still do it now, even though he's 40. He's one of those rare commodities in the world. You know what I mean? I really would compare it to somebody like Lou, who I think can just get on the mic and spit. I feel like a lot of times when I watch a lot of your videos or I listen to you rap, I'm like, yo, that sounds like a freestyle. I feel like you're one of those guys that can get on and just freestyle, and it'd be just like you writing down everything that you say.
Imagine somebody who only been rapping 4 years coming into the studio getting on the song too. Y'all did that five times, you would out-rap that person five times.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter if it's an on day or off day. Exactly. Just for the simple fact that they only been rapping 4 years. It's nothing to even think about.
So the Paul Brothers would be Soulja Boy. Remember Soulja Boy had this Superman song?
Don't do this.
I'm right.
Shout the soldier. We don't want soldiers, my man. Let's not. We've invented.
No, I'm just saying in terms of him being able to come in and take over the game. The way that he has, the Paul brothers have come in and they've made more money than I would say maybe 80% of the champions that are out there right now. Those guys came in and instantly made more money than them. Mainstream money.
Peep this, because you brought up rapping, and it's still a boxing question, but you know, frame it as kind of like a rap question as well. So in rap, you know, it's different levels of rap. You know, it's like industry rap, it's street rap. Is super lyrical rap, is studio rappers, you know, it's like battle rappers that get on stage and perform it out and stuff like that.
Right.
And so it's like different levels, right?
Right.
And for the most part, when you look at the industry, the rappers that are there, you know, they're representative of, you know, there's a good representation of like really talented, super skilled kind of rappers, like to compare it to boxing, like, you know, Floyd Mayweather, Acumen IQ rappers, right? And there's some that are there that may not be the majority, but it's definitely represented, right? But when you ask like just rappers, you know, like who's the best rapper period, you know, it might not be somebody from the industry, you know, it might be some dude who live up the street, it might be some dude who don't even want to deal, it might be somebody like that. Was kind of one of the things when I was coming up. One of the guys that was considered to be like one of the best rappers ever. And this is even kind of true in just the history of rap. Where they were studying, like, I forgot this dude's name. I think his name was Silver Fox or something like that. Who all of the dudes who we know, you know, the LLs and the I think the Cool G Raps and the stuff like that. They're like, yo, who's the dopest? They named somebody that we never heard of.
Uh-huh.
Right? So, oh, man, it was this dude who live over there.
Yep.
I forgot this dude's name. So when you relate that to kind of like boxing, the question is, do you think, especially in the age that we're in right now, and just in general question, that when you look at professional boxing, right, uh-huh. that it is representative of the highest level of boxers yep. in the world?
Yep.
Or is there like another like it's really, you know, it was Kimbo Slice. I'm just for example, right? Like, nah, right. This dude had the hand.
Right.
If he, you know,
like that.
Right.
He couldn't. You get what I'm saying? Like,
it's the same. Like it's the exact same.
Kind of, I mean, underground. Of what, like you said,
you got all those different levels of rapping, and you got the underground guys, so on and so forth. You got a lot of guys that everybody knows. Everybody knows Mayweather. Everybody knows. So Mayweather would be like the Jay-Z. He would be the guy that nobody can ever look over now at this point in time. And then you got a lot of guys that even though they may have a belt and may have lost the belt, you'll see them at the gym. You're like, yo, when you fighting again? I'm not sure. You haven't seen him on mainstream TV. You haven't seen him, but he's still the dog. He's still that guy that don't nobody want to train with in the gym. Don't nobody want to spar with. This dude got everybody's number that come in the ring, but has not made it over that hump, that mountain of boxing. That's always going to be there. There's always going to be a big mountain. And I'm just blessed that I was able to get over that mountain. It's only a select few that get over that mountain, but you'll always have somebody at the gym talking about a guy that nobody, you'll have somebody in Cleveland talking about a guy in Cleveland that nobody in LA knows, but everybody in Cleveland or everybody in Akron or Chicago, Philly, everybody know about this guy, but he just wasn't able to get over that mountain. So yes, yeah, the exact same where you have for every mainstream rapper, you got probably five or six guys that haven't made it that you're like, yo, he's nice, but nobody knows about him, but he's nice, you know?
Mm-mm.
Yep.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it seemed like with boxing, it gets a little bit fuzzy because
yeah,
you don't like the fame is not measured based off of how good you are.
Yeah.
Like if it's like everybody just agrees, okay, he's the best. That doesn't mean that he sells the most tickets.
Yeah, it's true.
You know what I'm saying?
It's true.
Like, there's more that comes with it than just it being understood by your contemporaries.
Yeah.
How good you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it was a point in time with Danny Garcia.
Yeah. Yep.
Danny Garcia was like a bigger draw.
Mm-hmm.
He was like a bigger draw because of the Puerto Rican fan base, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, he's a bigger draw because of the... Yep, and because he was fighting over there on the East Coast, and everybody wanted to see him on the East Coast. Terrence Crawford is kind of like that now, where he sells out where he at home, but I don't think people travel to see him the way they would someone like myself or like a few of the other fighters, maybe even in the welterweight division, but definitely some of the top fighters. People just, it's something about the game where people may recognize you for your outside the ring antics. Adrian Broner is gonna always outsell Terrence Crawford because they want to see what happens before the fight, and then they want to see what happens after the fight. You know what I mean? So he's gonna be one of those guys that may not have the skill, doesn't have the kind of skill that Terrence Crawford has, doesn't have the kind of commitment or technique or charisma inside of the ring that Terrence Crawford has, but people understand who he is, and it's something that they gravitate towards. He has that Terrence Crawford does not have.
He attracts more casual fans,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he did the crossover thing really, too. So y'all know how that is. If y'all don't do the crossover thing, you know what I mean? I got a bunch of white friends. My white friends may not know who Lupe Fiasco is because Lupe doesn't always do the crossover thing. Royce, you know that you've been more underground, but I think that's kind of how you have wanted it to be anyway. You don't want to be forced to do anything that you don't want to do. And Lupe, I watched you too. You don't want to be forced to do anything that you didn't want to do. You know what I mean? So at the end of the day, y'all are happy with where y'all at.
Oh, that's true. Shut up, Tom.
Y'all are happy. Yeah.
Do you think boxing is a commercial sport?
It's not, which is the biggest problem. Nobody knows how to commercialize boxing, which is why we always look forward to the walk-up crowd. We always look forward to the last-minute pay-per-view buys. Nobody knows how to commercialize boxing. No, and then also on the other side of it, nobody's willing to take the chance. Nobody's willing to take the chance with us.
Yo, let me add on to Royce's piece, right? If boxing is a commercial, what's like the pathway, like starting from day one, right? From a person who wants to go from being a boxer, right? Who don't know how to box to becoming
a Showtime, right?
So,
Sean Porter.
So,
like, what's that? What do you think is like the best path, right? Yeah. If a rapper came up to me and was like, "I don't even know how to rap. What should I do?" Yeah. I'm like, "Oh, okay. Underground battles. Okay, this Crow Joe studio. Now this, that's that." Yeah. What's the like the steps for like a boxer?
I give you the long story short. I was about 5-0, and Mayweather was doing his thing, and a couple of other fighters were really big, and I was like, "I want to be there. How do I get there?" And I sat down in my room for a couple of hours trying to figure out what gimmick can I use to get to the top. I need something to really kind of get me there fast, get me there quick. And I couldn't come up with nothing. I was like, "No, I'm not doing the bad boy. That ain't me. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing that. I'm not coming into the ring, swinging on, you know, something to get in the ring. Nothing." Like, I was like, "I got nothing. I'm just going to be myself." I'm blessed enough that being myself got me where I am. A lot of guys don't know how to do that. We got a guy right now, and I know you familiar with him, Berlanga, just ended his knockout streak, but he had like 16 first round knockouts, something crazy like that. Wow. Yeah, like 16, 17 first round knockouts, and that streak finally has ended. That's not a gimmick, but that was what he used, what happened for him to get him to the mainstream. Normally, you're not 17-0 getting on TV the way that he is, but he used that. There's really no one thing that you can tell a fighter like, "Hey, if you do this, that's what's going to get you there," because you gotta, I feel like you gotta be yourself and you have to use your attributes to get to the top. Because if you try to do anything or use anyone else, you're going to come up short. Because boxing, like my dad always says, the ring will tell the truth about who you are, and it will tell if you've been working. It'll tell if you've been taking days off. It'll tell if your commitment level ain't been there. It'll tell if you ain't been eating the right things. It'll tell if you ain't been running. It'll tell if you ain't focused, so on and so forth. So you really can't tell a fighter what he can do to get to the top. I think what you can tell a fighter is you have to work hard and you have to have tunnel vision, because just like the rap game, if you don't got tunnel vision, you're going to get pulled off on one of them tours and you ain't going to be able to get back to being yourself, performing the way you like to perform, so on and so forth. So, I like to use the analogy for just about any analogy for boxing, because I feel like, you know, boxing is just so comparable to life and anything you go through in life.
And a lot of young artists that I kind of like mentor to come around the studio. First of all, the whole generation is lazy.
Yeah.
Let's just put that out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
So when they come to the studio, I always notice that they make the mistake of thinking that you can hit the clock in this shit.
Yeah.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle. Yep.
You can't play it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to live it. Yep. You know what I mean? So if you partying, you know what I mean? And then you just go to camp when you sign for a fight, like he said, that shit is going to show. And it's the exact same thing in music. You can pretty much get out of it what you put into it. So essentially what you're trying to do is you're trying to outwork people, and you're also trying to find your own path.
And I'm writing that down, because that's exactly what I'm going to start telling fighters when they, "Hey man, I want to be where you at." There's no punch in the clock. Either you all the way in or you all the way out. Because what guys don't know in the boxing game, just like football, like you'll look up and you'll see, a running back is the top running back. And then you see 2 years later, he's almost faded out of the picture of the NFL. Sean. The boxing game is the same way. Our window is so thin, and we never know. So in that window, you can't punch a clock. You can't think that, "Oh, I'm going to train and then I'm going to go do this and do that." Going to do this and do that is going to get you bounced about the ring. You know what I mean? So there's no punching the clock.
So Royce, when are you going to, go and jump in that ring, dog? You already got the wraps, you know what I'm saying? We ain't gonna go in and wrap them hands up, stick them into some old gloves, you know what I'm talking about, and go and jump in there with Showtime, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, see, you
fucked up.
You had me for a minute. I was about to say, it's a ring right here. I get in there all the time. You know what I mean?
Hey, you know what's crazy?
Dance around.
I kept rewinding.
I hit pads.
That's all you're supposed to do. That's all you're supposed to do. And record it and let everybody see you in your shine. That's all you're supposed to do. But what's crazy is, man, I watched Lupe. He said, "Shout out to Showtime. Shout out to Showtime." I said, "This dude is all, he's in the kung fu. That look had no type of technique at all. Like, what?
He had no rhythm.
He had no rhythm to the shout out to Showtime. Shout out to Showtime.
Hold on. Fuck, you know what Showtime is.
I'm keeping it real. I was like,
I'm only saying this because you're a face on my screen. If you was in this room right now, I wouldn't say anything that I'm about to say right now. I wouldn't even gesture. But let me clear something.
I gotta keep it real.
I got hands. All right, I got hands. I will whoop an ass or two, and yeah. I might whoop four or five, and no. I might not whoop the same ass again, right? But the initial ass whooping will happen, right? I'm not too. I got some.
Listen,
you know,
man. I've seen you with blades. I've seen you with nunchucks. I've seen you with everything. And so I'm like, yo, where's the technique? You can't just throw the jab for a couple times. Like, you got some sense. Like,
we got Showtime. And this is because I do the martial arts. So my family did the martial arts.
Yeah.
We come from a fighting kind of tradition. And we actually practice a style of karate called Kyokushinkai, which is full contact, very much so about fighting. You know, so it's less about forms and looking good and more about, uh-huh. you know, the form follows the function, right? The function is the whooping ass. Mm-hmm. And one of the things with that is, and this is a little different from boxing. We used to have a boxing ring, but in our dojo, and we would pad up and do that stuff, but it was more like kickboxing and stuff like that. The hands was just for what they were. But it's like you have to learn in karate. I mean, you ain't got that protection mm-hmm. of the glove, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's like the way you have to move and some of the movements that you got to do, you know, you can't risk that, because that run wrong punch, that mm-hmm. run wrong situation, mm-hmm. I mean, you break your fingers, mm-hmm. you know, you break your wrist, you break your hand, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You ever watch UFC early on?
Yeah.
Y'all ever watch UFC early on?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you remember, like, before they had the weight classes, mm-hmm. like Royce Gracie used to be like my favorite fighter in the world back then. Mm-hmm. He was 175 pounds and he was beating everybody because he was the first guy that pretty much introduced Brazilian jiu-jitsu mm-hmm. and grappling to the octagon.
And
you never seen him square up.
Yeah.
You never seen him ball up fists.
Yeah.
He had a karate on.
Yep.
And he always looked to take you down. Mm-hmm. But if he couldn't get to your legs and you somehow get to him, he chopping you, he hitting you, he elbowing you, but he never punching. Never seen him punch.
Here's the thing with UFC. And this is I don't want to get in trouble, but this comes from Bill Superfoot Wallace.
Uh-oh. Right?
what I was saying earlier, just to finish the point, is that there's a certain level of protection that you got to have, like self-protection,
uh-huh.
When you're doing the martial arts, because you don't have anything to protect your hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
In Kyokushinkai, they may rap, but this way it get interesting, Royce, and I'm glad you brought this up, right? With Royce, is, you know, the UFC, the first UFC was put on by the Gracie family.
Mm.
Right, so they own the UFC.
Mm.
Right, that was completely. There was no, like, I mean, you had tournaments and stuff like that prior, but the UFC as a brand and as a situation was something that the Royce family, the Gracie family, put out to promote Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Right, and so Bill Superfoot Wallace was a great karate fighter, great record, still even to this day was still looked at as one of the best karate fighters of all time. Right, kickboxer, stuff like that, crazy kicks. That's why I call him Superfoot.
Mm-hmm.
He was the judge at UFC 1, right? And I remember having like UFC 1 on VHS tape back in the day, right?
It was like the Kumite.
And Bear Superfoot Wallace did an interview recently with a karate guy, this dude named Jesse Enkamp, a European karate instructor. And he broke down, like, you know, I was at UFC and this is what happened, right? So he's seeing the fight, he's seeing what's going on behind the scenes. One of the issues was nobody was allowed to wrap their hands.
Mm.
Right? And so the wrapping of the hands is a certain level of protection where you could strike with a certain level of force and confidence and not have to worry about, because mm-hmm. everything's basically stabilized, mm-hmm. right? So it took away the hands from the people with the hands mm-hmm. when they went up against Royce. So this is the conspiracy. The conspiracy is that they set it up for kind of Royce to have an advantage.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. Above the rest of the competitors. Because it took away their hands.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece was Royce. I keep saying Royce, but it's Royce. Where's your name? Are you Royce Gracie? What's going on? Is that why you got your name? Remember, he had that gi, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nobody else had a gi.
Nobody.
He was the only one allowed to. He was the only one allowed to wear a gi.
Oh, wow.
Could nobody else wear a gi?
Allowed to?
Yep. So this all comes from Bill Superfoot Wallace. He's a legend. He's on the same level as Hoyce Gracie and the Gracie family when it comes to the martial arts. Like he's if anybody gonna speak, that's like Mayweather talking about Tyson, right? So it ain't like some low level dude out of nowhere just talking mess.
Right.
And he was a judge, so he was privy to the rules and stuff like that. And he felt something was kind of like funny about it, like, you know, like it was almost like it was set up for, you know, the Brazilian jiu-jitsu to kind of come out on top.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. But it was being, not to cut you off, bro, but it was being marketed as bare knuckle, bare knuckle. I don't even know if it was like no holds barred or it was like the Kumite.
Yeah. It was no holds barred. They could punch in the groin. They could do all that stuff. It was open.
It was a lot of people. It was
certain little rules, you know, that folks who maybe not professionally into fighting or spar all the time, like little things like hand wraps, like wearing a gi, like, does that give you an advantage or a disadvantage type situation, right? Because you could choke somebody out with your own gi. Like, imagine you find somebody with no gi. You got on a gi. Yeah. You could take your belt. You could literally take your belt. They ain't got no belt, and you could choke them out, you know? So
he almost got his ass whooped having that gi on. Akima.
The piece was, remember that sumo wrestler dude? Remember the big, fat sumo wrestler dude?
Remember
the dude he fought? Remember he went down to the cage, the dude kicked him in the face crazy and like punched him a couple times?
You talking about Kimo? He had the tattoo on his...
He's a big fat sumo wrestler and he fought guy, right?
Yeah.
Not Butterbean, but like Tank Abbott?
I can't remember, dude. It was UFC 1. It was the first UFC, and it was a big sumo wrestler dude, and then he went up against like this kind of like, I don't even know what you call him, because he was just out there.
He was black?
The sumo wrestler was the black dude. Big black boy.
That's Emmanuel.
So remember when he kicked him in the face? Remember he got him on the ground, kicked him in the face? They were like,
he chopped him in the head. He chopped him in the head and then kicked him in the face.
Right? He broke his hand.
Damn.
Punching dude. Right?
Damn.
Yeah.
So it was like, yo, like he couldn't even fight no more, right? Because he broke his hand.
Right? Yeah, that's anybody who knows how to throw up. Sean can't hit nobody on the street and not break his hand.
Yeah.
If shoot it, he's gonna break something.
I know some people into the martial arts, and they told me that that's why they do things like hitting walls and hitting bricks and hitting trees and things like that to toughen up their. Get the they call it, the new skin or the whatever that's called
on the calluses top of the, and everything.
Yeah, on the top of they knuckles to basically strengthen their hands and stuff like that. Have you ever done that, Luke?
To numb it out.
Of
course. You numb out. It's like you strengthen the bones. You numb up the skin. You basically numb your hand out so you don't really feel no pain. And the reason I brought up the karate is that a lot of karate is, the karate that we practice, punching was just one piece.
Yeah, right.
Like strikes, open hand strikes, stuff with like the wrist. But you would fortify your wrist in a certain way and elbows and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Stuff that you can't do in boxing. Mm-hmm. You know, so boxing is all hands. Mm-hmm. When you step back to karate and you recognize like, you know, you can't just be throwing loosely hands out there. They're not strong enough.
Yeah.
Then it's like, okay, knife hands. Elbows, forearm strikes, headbutts, stuff like that, knees and things of that nature. So,
hey, so Lou,
I would love to fight you, I'm not.
No.
Lead at that.
Did you see when Floyd hit Jake Paul?
I didn't see him hit him. I've only watched the tape like twice. I ain't see it, but we had somebody on
the video
on the line that was down there.
I found a video where you can see it.
They said,
and the reason why I brought that up is because he was like. He picked the punch.
Uh-huh.
You can tell he ain't want to mess his hand up, so he was just like waiting for him to lift his head up a little bit. Then he just was like,
"Dang!"
And you can hear it. Like he caught him somewhere here.
Yeah, everybody said he hit him. I didn't see it. Yeah, but we had a guy on the line. He said, "I said, why was he so upset? Like, took my hat. So what?" He said, "Nah, man, did you see what was on top of his head?" I said, "Yeah, his hair wasn't really looking all the way."
Here we go. Right. I have nothing to do with this.
That wasn't a good move.
You did this last week, Royce. Showtime's doing it right now.
Oh, y'all don't just talk on here? Y'all just...
I try not to, to to insult men who beat up people for a living, man. I don't like trying to make
it's not insulting. He came out the house like that.
So Showtime, do you think
some protection?
Yeah, he had a fitted hat on. You weren't supposed to do. You got to have a wave cap on. You got to have 2 wave caps on with that under there.
The last thing he probably was expecting was somebody to be like, "I got your hat."
Steelers right, hat. Right.
With 90 cameras around, I got your hat. He was like, "Motherfucker." Yeah. You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank.
Time to give a little shout out to our sponsor, BetterHelp.
I don't know if you caught this, Tom, but we had a dude from Cali call in the hotline a couple weeks ago to rave. I mean, he just couldn't shut up about BetterHelp after hearing about it right here on this show.
All right. By all means, please share some choice quotes from the voicemail.
Okay. First of all, Sean from California called you the coolest colonizer at the cookout. That the CCC or the CC, the coolest colonizer at the cookout.
I was thinking more the parts about BetterHelp.
Okay. So not the insults and the low blows. Okay, gotcha.
Okay, first he says, it blew my mind when I heard your first ad for BetterHelp. Guess he didn't realize we were into that sort of thing. Then he says, I've been using BetterHelp for 3 or 4 months now and I love it. It's amazing. I'm on my third therapist. You got to find the right one for you, and I feel like I have. I feel like I've got a better quality of life now, and it's only going up from here. That's optimism is what that's called, Tom.
That is a straight-up real endorsement right there. We can't make this up, people.
All right, y'all know the drill. BetterHelp provides professional counseling in a safe and private online environment. We recommend it because it's convenient, professional, affordable, and anything you share with our counselor is on the hush-hush.
Get 10% off your first month by visiting our sponsor at BetterHelp.com/Lupe and Royce.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Lupe and Royce.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank. So do you think all of this stuff, the Paul brothers, like Snoop Dogg's Fight Club, all of this exhibition stuff, do you think this is going to ultimately help or hurt boxing?
It's going to help boxing because, and I've said this now, and I'm going to take it into my own hands myself and do it, but boxing has to get on this. Boxing has to jump on what's going on and become a part of it instead of trying to close the door and lock it out. And they say, I'm going to go ahead and do it, Lupe. You don't want to do it, but I'm going to do it. So when everything was first happening with the Paul brothers on Triller, Showtime said, it's an abomination to the sport. We'll never do it. I hate it. I don't ever want to see it. It's never going to be on my network. Then guess what? Floyd decides that he wants to do it. And where are we going to see Floyd's next exhibition match? On Showtime. But it took Floyd coming into the game for boxing to say, okay, let's do it. Boxing has to continue to, I'm not saying continue to put on these type of matches, but go with it. Be a part of it. Allow these guys into the sport. Allow your guys to be seen with these guys, and your guys are going to benefit from it. Why? Because these guys have millions and millions of followers on the internet, and boxers have 50,000. I think I got 300,000 maybe. But the average boxer only has a couple of thousand fans. This is going to get the fan base even bigger. And then you're going to expose real boxing by being a part of what these guys have got going on. So I think it's an advantage for the sport. I think if you build boxing, sounds bad, but if you build boxing around this saying, hey, you saw those guys were exciting, but come check out the real champions. Come check out what boxing really has to offer, instead of saying, no, don't turn that on, turn this on. Everybody's going to say, why are you hating on those guys? I'm not going to turn that on. I like these guys. And for you telling me not to turn that on, I'm not going to turn on your shit. You know what I mean? So everybody's going to jump on it.
You're programming them to choose one or the other.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Program them to accept both.
I agree. I agree
choose
with you.
Choose it all.
Like, I feel like it brings viewership to the sport. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely agree. The boxing should embrace it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But now if boxing embraces it, the managers really got to manage and the really have to promote. So you got to be careful.
That's the problem.
Who you put in there with?
That's you know the what I'm problem. Saying? That's the
but
problem.
What you can do, you can do a loaded card though. Yeah. You can do a real. You could put Bud and Earl as a main event.
Yep.
And Jake Paul and Broner.
Yep.
On undercard.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? And just kind of mix it up.
Yep.
But it's certain fighters that just represent a certain ilk that can go nowhere near the spectacle.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like
exactly.
Floyd is retired, so he can do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But some fighters who can pull it off. I think B can pull it off.
Yeah.
I think Keith Thurman almost there.
He
almost there, bro.
He ain't been in the ring. Yeah.
He almost there, bro.
Yeah.
He almost did. He almost
I think
there.
It's some guys time, you have to see against the best. And then there's other guys you want to see them, but you know that they can't beat the best. So I think it's best that if you put them against somebody that is going to bring entertainment, somebody that's going to bring the show before, during, and after the fight, you know? Because essentially that's what boxing is, and I don't think enough fighters really know that we're entertainers. We get paid to entertain.
Entertainment.
Yeah, we get paid. In our minds, we're getting paid to knock people out. But the people that come to see that knockout, that's their form of entertainment. And they want to be entertained. Mm. And fighters don't really understand that. They don't understand that what I do inside of the ring is not enough. I gotta do some things outside of the ring that's going to keep my fans, because I'm not getting in the ring a week after I just fought. It's just not going to happen. So in the meantime, find other ways to make money.
Ain't one of the reasons why, Bud and Spence haven't happened yet is because of money, right?
Yeah.
It's because I think what to fix the problem is like an undercard that generates way more money than usually an undercard would generate. Like why can't they mix something like that with the spectacle?
Yeah.
Just to be for the sake of being able to put the fight on and give both guys what they're asking for.
You know what? I think at the same time, so this is still new and we're still trying to the boxing world is still trying to accept it, but I think at the same time, so now you're talking about how do we intermingle this? How do we put these internet sensations with real boxing? And so promoters have never done that. Promoters have just done boxing. Promoters haven't put a guy that doesn't have experience and another guy who doesn't have experience, but they bring an audience. So boxing right now really doesn't know how to handle it, you know? So. That's the big thing, you know, but people got to smarten up and they got to start doing the right things. If you don't put a fight like Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence Jr. together in the next year, people are going to go away from the sport because they feel like the sport's not doing what they want them to do. And guess what? Triller is and these other internet sensations are. So they're going to go where they feel it. They feel like they're getting what they want. Mm. Every time we see the Super Bowl. Every time we see a Super Bowl, it may not be the teams you want, but you know you're getting the Super Bowl. You know you're getting the best against the best.
And you watch it.
And you watch it. Same thing with boxing.
It's like the iHeartMedia stage, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The casual fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Casual fans are important now.
Yeah, it's for casual fans. It's just commercial. It's commercial. Yeah.
So. Showtime, when is your next display of savagery upon someone's noggin?
When's,
July.
I know it's hard for you. Fight right now.
July, it is, man. My dad just told me about 2 weeks ago. He said, it was about 3 weeks now. He said, listen, I know you've been waiting. You've been wanting to fight Terrence Crawford, but I don't think it's going to happen. Let's figure out who else we can get in the ring with. Let's find, he said, let's pick a month and let's stick with that month that you want to get in the ring, no matter who it is. And so we said July. We're still waiting right now to find out who exactly that's going to be and when and where that's exactly going to be. But I'm training for July. My man, Tom, you told me we were going to be on here at 5. I came in the house at 4:20 from the gym, took me a quick shower and then jumped on.
Man, what's the problem that Bud is having? Is it the Al Haymon versus Bob Arum thing or what? Like why do it seem like he can't make a fight?
It's kind of the same as me. I looked at Errol Spence Jr. and I said, you know what? Errol Spence is the best fighter in the world. I want to take out the best in the world. And so after the fight, I found myself not feeling like the fight was easier than I thought it was going to be, but I felt like I controlled a lot of that fight. And I was like, there's got to be another challenge out there. So I look left, right, and I'm like, who's the next best thing? And that's Terrence Crawford, right? So I've been holding on, like, hey, let's make this fight happen, da 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 da. And so I feel like it's the same for him. He's been waiting on this fight to happen with Manny Pacquiao. And if you compare Manny Pacquiao to Sean Porter, there's no comparison. You get in the ring with Manny Pacquiao. And so I think, like, I really do think that he's not willing to let that go until he understands that there's no way he's going to get a fight with Manny Pacquiao. I think that Manny's telling him that the fight can be made. I think that people are kind of stringing him along if they're not willing to make the fight happen. But I think he's doing the right thing. He's not willing to get in the ring with nobody else but Manny Pacquiao. I feel like he's kind of earned that right. So, you know, I get it. It is what it is.
It's like sitting around. It's like sitting around waiting for a Drake feature.
You didn't say that.
No, I did. That was me one time. No, okay. That was me way back in the day.
No music until I get this feature.
Tried to get myself on the Drake train, and it did not occur.
Oh, that's just wow. Like that.
No, man.
So, Sean, tell us about the podcast. What made you decide to start a podcast?
Man, I love it, man. I love doing the broadcasting and all that kind of stuff, right? So I think about 2 years ago was when I first started entertaining the thought of doing a podcast. This had to be 2019. And that was after I had just started working on Fox. I was loving it. Everything was great. And I'm like, man, how can I do more of this aside from when Fox calls me out? And I started just looking around. I'm like, I could do a podcast, right? So the pandemic happens, right? And they end up canceling the show that I have on Fox. And I mean, I promise you, this was nothing but God, because in a matter of a week of them calling me, telling me that the show was not going to be, we weren't going to be coming out to do the show anymore. My strength and conditioning coach, know somebody's got some podcast equipment and you think you might want to be interested? I said, yeah, maybe. So we went and looked at it, said, oh, boom, it's time. Pandemic happened, can't leave the house. I might as well do something from the house. And two of my other best friends, they love the sport. They love to talk boxing. They love to talk sports in general. They funny characters. I said, boom, let's go for it. When I said let's go for it, right, I had my dad come over. We were recording an episode that I was going to shop to some agents. And told my dad to come in. My dad didn't come in the room. Recorded the whole show, and I was salty because my dad didn't come in, right? Come out. I said, hey, we end up recording the podcast. He said, I know what you're doing. I said, man, I want you to come check it out. He said, that's who you're doing your podcast with? I said, yeah. He said, Sean, you need to get some boxing guys to do this podcast with you. Don't do guys just because they're your friends. I said, like, they're pretty good. I got a good feeling about this. He said, why don't you get some other fighters to do this, man? You got an image and you got a brand. You're risking your brand. I said, Dad, this is going to work out. Trust me. And he left the house. He wasn't too happy about it at that point in time. But ever since then, man, he tells me what's going on my podcast now. You know what I mean? So he really appreciates what we're doing right now. I think he really likes it. Every now and then I get that, hey, man, you're saying a little too much. And, you know, he kind of keep me in my place. You know what I mean? A lot like Lou do, man. Lou, like, we can't say everything, you know? He can't say everything. You know?
We've been trying to get Tom off this show from the beginning.
Tom is here to stay.
Is this, are you attacking me on all fronts?
It's
here?
Called the Lupe and Roy Show, okay? It's going to remind yourself. Okay, that feature is fragile, okay? And it can be agile, meaning it can't move, Jack.
So how about a shout out to Carson and Anthony? Because I listen. Yeah. I listen to the show.
Yeah, I was surprised how knowledgeable. About boxing,
they are very knowledgeable. Yeah. I think Lupe called them pundits.
Pundits, yeah.
And I feel like they didn't quite like that
word.
I'm
trying to bring the smoke, Tom. Showtime chastised you earlier about your ways. Stick to the script, okay? Stop instigating fights.
Well, listen, Tom is
here. You need a good instigator. That's what sets up the fight, right there.
Y'all give him a reason to shave his head, so he's here to stay for that purpose.
Oh no!
But beyond that,
that's not shade.
I love that you called him. It's not. Oh, what you doing?
No, that's missing.
Oh, I could grow my hair just like Showtime.
That's missing.
Nah, Tom, don't do that. Because we know right there in the front, there's nothing going to happen in the front. So we know that. So slow down. Just you should have said right. I forgot to shave the tape.
What makes a guy a pundit?
Yeah, no, I love that he called them pundits, because I was like, I've heard that word before, but I should probably look it up. But I asked him. So y'all watch this episode. We actually opened up talking about, you know, hey, what do you guys consider yourselves? Do you consider yourself pundits, just humongous fans? Are y'all advocates of the sport? What are you? You know what I mean? So they kind of answered that based on what we heard Lupe say on his last episode, on y'all last episode.
What Lupe said.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm able to influence outside
like,
of my
like a diss record. Shots fired.
I'm like, stop trying to turn it negative, bro. Let's let it be happy and what it is, man.
My bad. I got my Nino Brown shirt on.
Royce, real quick about the Grammys. First of all, I don't think I did text you congratulations on that or whatever, but what was the energy actually like for you the night of? I don't know if you answered that before, but I know it's always a little different leading up to, you don't want to overplay things, so on and so forth. But the night of, what was your energy like?
I think it would have been a little bit different or a little bit more exciting if there was like an actual event that I myself was present at.
Yeah.
I've been to the Grammys a few times, but just with the whole pandemic and everything and the way that they did everything.
Yeah.
I was just here. We did everything virtually. So everybody pretty much accepted there as virtually, except like Hov and, you know what I mean? So I was just sitting in front of my computer.
Yeah. No different time. Then, huh? Yeah.
Yeah. I was getting up, going and doing stuff, waiting, because I knew that the category was dead last.
Right. And
they shot the category like real quick. I don't even know if they aired the best rap album category. I don't even know if they aired it on the broadcast.
Wow. So
it was cool. I mean, it was mostly just having to answer the phone after I lost. Everybody calling me. Why people call me after I lost? I don't want to talk to you about me losing.
So you know what I'm saying? So after the fact,
a bitter subject.
After the fact,
I'm not bitter.
Are you hungry for a Grammy now? Is that something?
No, he's bitter. He's bitter. He's bitter. Wild bitter. Just bitter. Bitter. Yeah.
No,
don't let this fool you. There's a lot of stuff that we cut out of the podcast, like the rant where he just breaks down in bitterness about the Grammy insult, as we like to call it around here.
Sean, he's lying. He's lying.
Bitter.
I didn't do that. I was gracious. I'm just happy, you know, happy to be recognized by my peers.
But is that a thing for you now? Because, you know, fighters, if we get into a championship title, and we lose that fight, like our hunger is like a switch flips. And it's like, I got to get back there.
Yeah. So see, I can't equate a Grammy to a championship title. It's more like it's an achievement for sure.
Yeah.
It's an achievement, but not one that every artist strives for.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the ice on the cake type of thing.
Yeah.
You know, like kids from, you know, like from 8 years old or whenever they start fighting, all they thinking about is I want to be world champion one day.
Yep.
You know, there may be a few kids saying one day I want to win a Grammy, but they think about other things before that.
Yeah.
Steps.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I think the main thing is just success and finding out exactly what that is. Because, you know, when you get into the game, you realize how subjective it is.
Yeah.
The more you start to understand it.
Boxing
and,
too.
Just kind of like finding that sweet spot. So, you know, the Grammy nomination just like caught me off guard. I wasn't even like thinking about it or anything like that. It just happened. You know what I mean?
Do you think
least with boxing, you get in the ring with the guy you're facing. Whereas with the Grammy, like it was kind of subjective. Like there were a bunch of, who knows who was going to win that. And there's no like rhyme or reason necessarily for who won it. Sticking up for you here, Royce.
I didn't win.
Well, boxing is the same way in terms of being subjective. You'll have a round that's very close and you'll have three judges. Two judges go one way, one judge goes the other.
There
way.
Is that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it just kind of is. Depends on what a judge likes, opposed to what a judge is even trained for. You know, there's minimum training for judges in the first place. Here I go saying too much, but there's minimum training for judges in the first place. And then judges practically go to the ring with what they. Royce, you know what you like to see when you watch a fight. Lupe, when you with Royce and y'all about to watch a fight, you know what you like to see. That's exactly how the judging is. Royce is one judge, Lupe is another judge.
You know what I can equate the Grammy to, Sean? It's probably like how you feel when the rankings come out from like Ring Magazine.
Yeah.
Like you look for them to acknowledge you.
Yeah.
So if they rank you number one pound for pound, that's like, okay. That's the icing on the cake.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily make you number one pound for pound unless it's understood
right
across the board.
Right.
And there could be politics that goes along with that.
Right.
But what about when you get...
It's an achievement nonetheless.
Right.
What about when you get 14 of them, though? Like 14. Does 14 change?
14 what?
14 Grammy nominations.
He always does this, bro.
Look at my nails.
He was one of them...
What? What was he talking about?
If he was a fighter, he'd be like one of them young prodigy fighters. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Came in with all the fancy shit.
Yeah.
He started winning a whole bunch of shiny shit like early on in his career and shit.
I got to tell this story real quick.
Like, man, I got 14 knives, man.
I got to tell this story right quick about Lupe and Food and Liquor. First concert I ever went to. Cleveland at the House of the Blues.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. A great friend of mine was actually opened up for you, Ace Boogie. He does the
he does the
intro for our podcast, and that's my guy till it's over, right? So, we've been kicking it for a minute. He said yo son, what you listening to nowadays? I said, oh man, I ain't got nothing else but Lupe in my CD in my car. He said, what, you like Lupe? He's like, yeah. He said, well, here, let me kick you this. He gave me the Black Eyed Peas first album that they ever did, Front, Behind, the Back, whatever the name of that is, whatever. But he said, here, I'm going to give you this. And do you want to come to a concert? I'm actually opening up for Lupe. I was like, yeah, I'll come. First concert I ever been to. I ain't know nothing. Me and my dad went. I'm like, I stood at like front, like right there, you know, House of Blues and no seating. I got there early. I'm standing there right in the front waiting. I'm excited, but I don't know how to act at a rap concert. You know what I'm saying? I don't know how to act at a concert in general. So my hands in my pockets, you know what I mean? Ace came out. He did his thing. Now I know Ace, so I'm rocking with Ace, but my hands in my pockets. Now it's a little intermission between you and Ace. So once you come out, I'm like stunned that you're rapping, right? But I still don't know how to behave. I'm looking around and people was like really rocking with you. So I start to rock a little bit. You know what I mean? I see people lipping and rapping with you. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to rap too. Should I rap with him? You know what I mean? So I started rapping with you and all that, man. And it's just, that was my first concert I ever been to, man. It's like, I've been like this with concerts ever since. Like, I know exactly what to do when I go to a concert now. But, man, that was when I say I'm front row at everything.
Why were you so unaware? Is it because you spent all of your childhood, like, in sports being stellar?
Beating people up.
I know. Well, so there you go, right? It's like somebody bumped into him.
Football. You play football on, like, a high level, too, right?
Yeah.
When I left the stage, I'm sure somebody bumped into Showtime and sent him into rage mode, and he beat up, like, 16 people before he went out the
house. It was my first concert. You know, I didn't know if I was supposed to like rap with him or just listen to the music or, you know, I just didn't know. I didn't know like how to really kind of behave, you know? So that's like crazy. I've gone and seen everybody since that, you know what I mean? I've seen Erykah Badu a bunch, you know what I mean? I've seen a lot of different, been to a lot of different concerts and things like that. But that being my first one, I never forgot how I remember feeling like, what am I supposed to do? Just listen to the music? Wow. And then by the near the That's end funny. Of the concert, I was like, all the way out there with you on every record. You know what I mean? So that's why when I say like Lupe's my guy, da 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 da, I'm front row, da 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 da, I always want to be da 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 da, it's because I remember the first concert that I've been to actually was yours, and I remember hearing Kick Push. First time I heard Kick Push, I was like, there's no way he's talking about skateboarding. I said, nobody would do a rap song about skateboarding. And sure enough, I was like, let me listen to it again. And then I started to catch it. I was like, I said, he's cold. He's cold. It's a rap. You know what I mean?
Were you skateboarding at that time?
No. I skateboarded when I was in fifth grade, and I failed a couple times. You know what I mean? Which, you know, fell, busting his lip, had a lisp, you know, da 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 da. So, like, I connect to a lot of Lupe's music too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh so. My man, I didn't know it ran that deep, Sean. Yeah, I didn't know it was deep down on the inside, yeah. Man. I really appreciate that.
That's why when y'all talking about me on the podcast, I'm like, yo, y'all making me sound like
y'all. Not y'all.
So when Lupe called you out, that
I didn't call
it was the way he said it. He said, yeah, just the way he said it. I have no clue. Damn, boy, he's like, no clue. He could have said, I'm not really sure, but I'll find out. Like, he just completely threw it under the bus.
Listen, Tom, don't worry. You got a well-whooped ass whooping on the way, Tom, soon as you're in the same room with Sean, just so you know.
You can't couldn't possibly think that with all of that lyrical greatness comes sanity.
Come on, Royce.
Can't have it all. Can't have it all, Sean.
But here's the kicker. Remember, Sean, when you mentioned Soulja Boy earlier?
Yeah.
I was like, no.
I don't mean no disrespect. You know what I mean? I was talking about his moment.
Like,
you know?
Like you said.
Yeah.
But me and Soulja Boy is one of the reasons I made a song called SLR. And SLR is like my branded.
Super lyrical rap.
Like,
yes, sir.
It's not like a diss record, but it's like a, hey, niggas, quit playing with me. Don't make me get in the car, niggas, right?
Yeah.
But the first one was in response to Soulja Boy.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
Soulja Boy said SLR stands for Super Lupe Lyrical, right? Super Lupe Raps or whatever, right?
Right.
And they did an interview with Soulja Boy in The Source. And Soulja Boy was like, man, or XXL, whichever it was at the time. And he was like, man, everybody ain't got to be like Super Lupe Lyrical, right? Mm-hmm. And my old whole ass was like, man, you can't be talking. I'm talking about Super Lyrical. Blah, 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 blah. And so I did SLR. It wasn't like a shot. It's not a diss.
Yeah.
But what came out of that experience was Soulja Boy had came to one of my concerts. And as a shorty, even though, you know, he came in the game as a shorty, but he came to one of my concerts.
Right.
And this one, people was bagging on Soulja Boy, right? People was bagging on him. And like, you know, we got lyrical rappers and this, and I'm like, I'm a lyrical rapper. I'm with this.
Right.
And I said something on stage about Soulja Boy. Like, I kind of mentioned him.
That night?
You know
what
I'm
saying? Didn't know he was there.
And I didn't know he was there. Right? And it was just kind of like, yeah, you know, this ain't that Soulja Boy type rap. This da 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 da. And he felt a certain ways about it, you know, and it completely made me rethink. Now, and when you mentioned that you came to your first concert, come to the concert, you know, et
cetera. Oh, yeah, that's an amazing thing.
You know, I put myself in kind of his shoes to just think, like, you come to see somebody that you like.
Right.
And then, you know, they say something. Or even with the podcast, you say, the first time you're on a podcast, we talking about, I ain't know nothing like that.
Yeah.
It was just like, man, I had that same experience with, like Soulja Boy.
Yeah.
It was just like, I'm on the stage popping shit. He's in the crowd, and he feel a certain way.
Yeah.
So, you know, I apologize.
I was just about to say, don't apologize, because I'm just going to use it as ammunition.
Did you apologize to Big Draco? Did you? Because he put you on. Like that story you just told, that means he put you on.
Listen, I'm going to need you to chill out, Goldilocks. I'm going to need you to chill, okay?
All right.
The fine-fitting T-shirt of today. But I'm just apologizing in general.
Yeah.
One, because I don't want no ass whooping.
Hey.
But two, because you never know, man. Like people be out here fans of folks. You know, been around folks, have deep, you know, not necessarily like super duper deep relationships with people, but
the
moments that they cherish, right?
Yeah,
and they first interaction with with somebody that they deal with or am inspired by, it might rub them the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, so I definitely don't want to have that, you know, don't meet your hero type record.
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, like, my dad ran into you at LAX one time, and my dad did what I hate people do. Hey, you mind if I call da 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 real quick? And he called me.
Yo, I remember that.
He called me.
You remember this?
And Lupe standing next to him. Like, like a part of me was like, why would you do that? The other part of me was like, thank you. Like, that was tight. You know what I mean? So, nah, man, nothing but love for you and Royce both, man. Royce is Royce. Like, you a solid dude, man. And I really do appreciate
thank
you too, Royce.
Brother.
So, yeah, man, I appreciate y'all giving me a minute. You know, a little bit more than 2 minutes. It was cool, you know? So, it is what it is. I'm going to redo my studio here. And when I do that, man, we're going to invite you guys in, because Carson, believe it or not, this dude, we kick lyrics all day and all night. He sends me music all day and all night.
Showtime, we're not coming to your house.
Oh, no, you'll come.
In a room?
Yeah.
Home alone style?
Yeah.
He's trapped. Are you out of your mind? I'm not stepping in.
I feel good about this, Lou. I think we squashed it.
I do have one question that's been bothering me.
All right.
You're a Cleveland guy, right? You were born in Cleveland.
Yes, sir.
Why do you have a Philadelphia – what is that Philadelphia Eagles helmet doing on in the background?
I can't wait to Sean Whoop your ass.
I've been curious about this for a long time.
Looking at this bell.
So this is my senior year helmet. Right here is tackles made, interceptions, fumbles, that kind of thing. Over here is touchdowns.
All right.
Things like that. So I love the sport. Number two was my number. Right now, when I moved here to Vegas, my dad was like, "Hey, Sunday morning, hey, you want to go to a church? I heard that there's a church just about 5 minutes down the road, and Pastor Randall Cunningham is the head pastor at the church." Wow. And so we went there a few visits there, and I was like, "Yeah, I like this." And we very close with Pastor, and he wrote this. He signed this for me one time, and he said, "Man, I still got Jerry Curl juice in there." So, yeah, this is a helmet that he actually wore. So I get a lot of people all the time like, "Yo, why do you have a Philadelphia's helmet?" I'm like, "It's my pastor's helmet, so it's a little different."
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Solves the question for me.
Yeah.
What position did you play?
I never left the field, man. I played running back. I played safety. Was all over the field on defense, cornerback, punt return, kick return, kickoff.
Damn.
Next
game.
I was one of them.
I see why you was at the show with your dad.
Oh, yeah. Nah,
he was playing everything on pro level as a kid.
Yeah, so, but that's how I got where I am, you know what I mean? That's why I tell kids nowadays, man, stay busy and you stay out of trouble.
Man, your football background really makes you like, it makes you like the neutralizer. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's whenever it shows in your style, I think that's what kind of like confuses people. Mm-hmm. And that makes it to where nobody can look good against you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to be a hard night with me. And I don't think it's just boxing, but you're talking about me being from Cleveland. I didn't grow up in the hard streets of Cleveland, but my dad raised me hard. My dad showed me everything that he went through. And he raised me hard so that I would never have to go through what he went through or see the things that he's seen and been through, the things that he's been through. You know what I mean? So I really am, man. I'm a product of a good family, a product of a very good dad. And, my wife is in the other room. I got two sons and now the legacy continues, you know, and like I text my brother the other day, I said, "Man, listen, we got a dynasty here, man. And there's a part you are supposed to play in this dynasty. I need you to come fill your place in this dynasty." And basically what that is just my dad has raised us to be great, excellent men and raised us to be responsible. And my dad is in the midst of, training some other fighters. These guys are really good fighters, can be champions one day. And just like my dad has made me a champion, I'm trying to tell my brother, like, come back here and get with us on this, and that way you can raise some champions of your own, you know?
A solid father son bond on a pedestal.
Yeah.
And portraying it in a way that it needs to be seen as much as possible.
Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. I appreciate y'all for
love
that.
Love it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Pop.
I love Kenny too, man. Tell him, send him my love, man.
I will. Respect. Appreciate you guys too. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Shout out to Papa Porter and the Porter family.
Yeah.
And Sean, man, we love you. You are a friend of the podcast. I can't wait till you put hands and gloves and feet all over Tom.
I feel obligated now to do that. I feel obligated to beat you up, Tom. I really do feel obligated. That's an obligation. And it's not because I'm Lupe's fan. It's because he said it so much. I feel like I'm like supposed to like thump you in the head one time. I really do.
You think we could get that kind of money that Mayweather and Logan Paul could get?
Ooh, I like this.
Hold on, because my little brother wants to know the answer to this question.
Yeah.
Because I can't see you. I can't see anybody disliking you.
Yeah. No.
Have you ever had to get into a street fight?
Nope. Never. I had two things riding for me, even in school. you either, so I'm a humble guy, man. It is what it is. I never told people that I fought, that I was a boxer. So like definitely elementary school, nobody knew. Middle school is when people started to figure out, because my dad was doing fight shows at the middle schools and things like that. And then high school, if you either like me because I was me, you like me because I played ball, or you like me because you heard I box, but nobody ever tried me. Nobody disliked me, anything like that, you know? So I get a lot of people like, hey, man, let me do security for you. I'm like, I'm going to keep it real, man. This is adding expense that I really don't need, because nobody's really out to get me. God just bless me, you know? So it is what it is. Mm-hmm.
I punch the bullets. I punch the guns. Man. Well, Showtime, man.
Showtime.
Sean Porter. Rocking with us, brother.
Yes, sir.
Always pleasure seeing you in the crowd. Yes, next time that I'm in Vegas or we in Vegas, we got to not only do the cast, man, but we got to grab some grub and chop it up and hang out and do all that stuff as well, brother.
You say ain't coming out the house, but I'm coming to the next fight. Time, you come.
I'm with you. So we're going to see you in July. I can't wait.
Let's do it. No. For real, let's do it.
We're going to put Luke up on the Jumbotron.
He'll be up there.
All right, fellas.
So good luck in July. Good luck with the podcast. I've really enjoyed listening to it. That's the Porter Way podcast.
Yes,
make
sir.
Sure you listen.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
See y'all later.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank.
Let me give a quick plug to our sponsor, Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon will remind you of the cereal you had as a kid, but without the bad stuff. It has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 net grams of carbs, and only 140 calories per serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Go to magicspoon.com/LupeAndRoyce to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code LupeAndRoyce at checkout to save $5 off your order. That's magicspoon.com/LupeAndRoyce and use the code LupeAndRoyce.
You're listening to the Lupe and Royce Show with Lupe Fiasco, Royce the 5'9", and Tom Frank. Royce, I'm happy to see you excited and engaged, man. I was like, oh, that's right. Royce is a boxer. But you know what? I wish you had that same type of energy. Radio theater.
I do. What are you talking about? You ain't just hear the comments?
Oh, well, we finna find out then.
I nailed it.
Because today, ladies and gentlemen, I know we long in the tooth, but we're going to give you a little bit of late radio theater before we get up out of here.
Let's do it.
Are you ready? Goldilocks and the Three Bears, goddammit, right now here on Radio Theater. Right now, we already know the story. We know the script. We just got to pick who's who. And I already think we already got our Goldilocks.
All right. I'll be Goldilocks.
Tom, who you going to be? You got to pick up multiple characters. You narrator. And I'll be the Three Bears if you be narrator.
All right.
You know the story? You know the story, I mean, or no? Nah, you be Three Bears. I'll be the Three Bears.
I'll be the Three Bears.
I got
bears.
It. All right, here we go. Radio theater, ladies and gentlemen. Scorpio, hit us with the intro. Golden Likes Three Bears brought to you by Lupe and Royce Show. We have Royce 5'9 playing Goldilocks, Tom, Frank playing all of the Three Bears.
All Three Bears.
Lupe Fiasco as narrator. Are you ready? Here we go. Scene. There's a little house in the forest. In that house lives Three Bears. They go out for the day to go do bear stuff in the woods. And who comes along? But Goldilocks. Goldilocks looks into the house, sees that no one is there, and then she goes in. Goldilocks, is feeling a little bit hungry and notices that there are three bowls of porridge on the table. Goldilocks goes to the first one and says,
"Well, I'm just a little white girl just frolicking around, and I'm totally seeing nothing wrong. It's totally appropriate for me to just go into this house. So now I'm in here. Boy, am I hungry. Is that porridge? Let me try that porridge. Let me try the first bowl. Oh, shit, that's too hot. Who in the hell would make hot porridge? Let me try the next bowl. Eh, it's not as hot, but it's still too goddamn hot. Let me try one more bowl. Oh, this bowl is just right. No, I got the itis. Is that possible? I'm sleepy. Where the beds at in here? Let me look around.
Goldilocks looks around for the beds and goes into the bedroom and notices three beds.
Hold on. I gotta go take a piss. I'll be right back. All right, now I'm sleepy. 3 minutes? How am I supposed to choose? Maybe I try this one. Oh, this bed is too hard. I'm gonna get this other one. I don't like this bed. This ain't memory foam. I'm gonna get another one. Yeah, I like this one. Wake me up later.
Goldilocks falls fast asleep. And as Goldilocks is sleeping, the owners of the home, the rightful owners, come home.
Allegedly.
The three bears enter the house and they notice that their porridge is gone.
Who's been eating my porridge? That's Daddy Bear. Baby Bear, who's been eating my porridge? Look at it all gone. Mommy Bear, somebody's been eating mine too. Daddy Bear, who's been laying in my bed? Mama Bear, who's been laying in our bed? Baby Bear, there's some goofy looking dude sleeping in my bed.
What are you talking about? What's going on?
What are you doing in my bed?
Who are you? What are you doing in my house?
And that's when Goldilocks got some hands put on him.
Is that what it is? First of all, thank you guys. We just had to do that. We probably not gonna use that, but here's the, Tom.
Hey, listen,
bruh.
Listen.
You messed up the story, man. She didn't eat all the porridge. Cause remember she ate the one bowl, but it was too hot, so she didn't eat it. She went to the other bowl and ate that bowl, but it was too cold, so she didn't eat that one. So she went to the bowl that was just right and ate all.
Let me tell you something, Lupe. Sometimes the creativeness, you have to take certain diversions from the real story to make it your own.
Listen, man.
I made it my own.
Let me just tell you something about me and how I work, okay? Like, this comedic genius, I have to dig down really deep to find it. So when I find it and you say shit like, we might not use this, that hurts, you know? That hurts.
That hurts. That hurts both of us.
Gotta use it.
Yo, this is Lupe Fiasco and it's sandwich time.
And this is Royce da 5'9", and I just fucking murdered Goldilocks.
This is Tom Frank, the regular guy. Thanks to Showtime Sean Porter. I'm ready to go, my man. I am ready to go.
Your call has been forwarded to an automatic voice message system.
What up, what up, what up? This your boy B Green from the Green Light. Yo, love the show, guys. Listen, first of all, I got to call out the fans. If y'all gonna call, y'all better call with the energy that I'm calling with, all right? Y'all be calling, y'all be asleep, y'all be all crusty in your eyes. Get rid of that, all right? So, bang, I'm going to give this episode 3 Royce Fuzzy Slippers out of 5, all right? I'm really disappointed that we didn't get that script, Royce. I'm telling you, listen, I got some people in Schoolcraft. We're going to have to come up on you with that pen, and we're going to have to get that script writing better. And listen, Lupe, Sean Porter ain't going to be the only one that's going to be on you if you talk about my girl Sandra Bullock, okay? Sandra Bullock and Demolition Man, woo-wee! All right, Tom, you was all right. All right, it's your boy, B. Green. Holla.
Yo, what's good? Lupe and Roy. Lupe, you one of my favorite artists of all time. My first album I ever bought was The Cool, and to this day, it's still my favorite album. Royce, you my guy, too. All your shit is dope as well. Tom, for a normal guy, you are pretty dope, too. Keep up the good work. I love you guys' podcast. Peace out.
Hey, yo, big shout out, man. What's up? Yo, it's Jeff from Stange, New Jersey, just calling to give a shout out to Lupe and Roy Show, man. Huge fan of Lupe Fiasco since day one. I know I got on his podcast because he announced it on his page, and I just became a big fan of Roy's after his last album, and he's a July 5th baby like myself. So, man, y'all doing great with the podcast. Keep it up. The topics are dope. Y'all together are dope, man. And Tom, you should just be lucky to be in the presence of two of the best rappers in the game. Two of the best MCs to ever touch a mic. But nah, shout out to Tom too, man. Y'all guys keep it up. Keep them coming. Once again, man, a big shout out from Jersey, man. Holla.
That's our show for the week. If you like what you heard, be sure to subscribe or follow. Leave us a review and tell your friends to listen. The Lupe and Royce Show is a production of Say What Media. It's recorded and mixed by Claude Jennings. Our head writer is Lauren Sloat. I'm Tom Frank. And our theme music is by... who else? Lupe Fiasco and Royce da 5'9".